Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
My Weird Prompts is an AI-generated podcast produced by Daniel Rosehill, a verified human with documentation to prove it. While every effort is made to ensure our AI hosts draw from credible sources and run on cutting-edge models, they do occasionally make things up with alarming confidence. As with everything in life, and especially this podcast, treat all claims as spurious until confirmed to be not. Daniel, Herman and Korn accept no responsibility for any decisions made based on the confident ramblings of our artificial presenters. Now, today's episode.
Hi there, Herman and Korn. Let's shift our focus today to talk about prepping, moving away from the AI episodes just a little bit. So, as you know, I live in Israel, and this is a part of the world where periodically, you know, the security situation does change. Probably the most harrowing period that I lived through was the Iranian rocket attacks that occurred over the course of the summer in the 12-day war, which very stressfully occurred just before our son was born. And we were kind of, going back and forth between a bomb shelter, car park, and our house, like, repeatedly. And for these kind of experiences, the reason that I mention this and it's on my mind is that in the news today, I have a long-standing practice of, you know, first thing in the morning, last thing at night, checking in with Google News. And I see today there's kind of talk about speculation, and I emphasize that word speculation, regarding the possibility that Israel is going to attack Iran again, and it's viewing the ballistic missiles that they're replenishing, all this kind of stuff. Now, here's what I want to get to. If one spends their life worrying about the next attack, especially if you live somewhere like this, you're going to go absolutely crazy. Equally, there is a danger, I think, in going too far in the other direction and not looking at what's on the news at all. I worked a little bit on, you know, I've done a few open source projects last year, and one of the ones I was working on was trying to create an AI workflow whereby an AI bot would parse through the news every day. And only if there was a very significant level of something, you know, worth warning about, would issue a kind of operational, you know, like a templated email saying there's something serious brewing. Because the one thing I can point to from having lived through the successive rounds of the Iranian attack is that there's a background level of speculation in the news. And then there's been a quite specific, just before it broke out, there was two or three rounds of the Iranian launches against Israel last year. And in all cases, there was kind of, if you were, you know, an open source intelligence person looking for signs, the US evacuating personnel from diplomatic missions was one that I think happened at least twice. And there was kind of this forewarning in the media. But again, the problem becomes when you get used to this level of background kind of blabber, I would say, analysis pieces, op-eds, when these things crop up, they tend to sound like just more noise and you tend to ignore them. So my question for you is actually one of informational sifting and systems that you might think of or ideas you might have. I don't want to say that this is something that everyone should use or rely upon AI for. I know there's a big risk in that, and everyone ultimately takes responsibility for their own preparedness. But I have been thinking about ways where this might be something that could be actually fairly reliably implemented. One format and document that springs to mind a lot is what's called the SITREP, SITREP, short for a situational report. And when I'm prompting the AI models to generate text, I tend to ask them for follow a SITREP format with the timestamps in UTC. I'm quite militaristic with the intention that it won't give kind of just a very, this is what's been talked about and analyzed, these are exactly what the statements from, you know, world leaders have been, official statements, and focus on the very cut and dried facts on the ground as they evolve, especially in fast moving regions and fast-moving dynamics. So I'd love to get your thoughts for pipelines and workflows that can be done to help people strike that balance between, you know, not getting saturated in irrelevant news and speculation, but getting those kind of key warnings when stuff is happening that can actually make a real difference to your level of preparedness when you might be living through one of these very jarring geopolitical crises on the ground.
Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts. I am your host, Korn, and yes, I am a sloth, but I promise the pace of today's show is going to be anything but slow, because we are diving into something seriously intense. Our producer, Daniel Rosehill, sent over a prompt this week that really hits home for anyone living in a high-tension area. He has been looking at the security situation in Israel and wondering how we can use technology to stay safe without losing our minds to the constant news cycle.
It is a vital question, Korn. I am Herman Poppleberry, and while I may be a donkey, I do not have much patience for stubborn, inefficient data processing. The problem Daniel is highlighting is one of signal versus noise. In a geopolitical crisis, the noise is deafening. It is not just about staying informed. It is about maintaining psychological resilience. When you are bombarded by 24-hour news cycles that thrive on speculation, your ability to make rational preparedness decisions actually degrades.
Exactly. I feel that all the time. You check your phone, there is an alert about a possible drone, then an opinion piece about what might happen next week, then a rumor from a Telegram channel. By the time something actually happens, you are too exhausted to react. Daniel mentioned he has been experimenting with AI workflows to create situational reports, or SITREPs, that give him just the dry facts. I think that sounds like a dream, but is it actually safe to trust an AI to tell you when to head to a bomb shelter?
Well, hold on, we need to be very precise here. An AI should not be your primary tactical warning system. If an air raid siren goes off, you do not wait for a large language model to summarize the acoustics for you. You move, but for the layer just above that, the situational awareness layer, Daniel is onto something revolutionary. Using an automated pipeline to scrape news, filter out the adjectives, and present a bulleted list of events is a way to bypass the emotional manipulation of modern media.
I see what you mean, but I am not so sure it is that simple. If you strip away the analysis, do you lose the context? Like, if a report just says 10 rockets were fired, but leaves out the part where experts say this is a major escalation compared to yesterday, are you actually less prepared because you do not realize the situation has changed?
See, I actually see it differently. I think the average person is over-contextualized. Most analysis is just educated guessing. If the facts show an increase from 2 rockets to 10, you do not need a pundit to tell you that is an escalation. You can see the trend for yourself. The problem is that the pundit adds a layer of fear that triggers a cortisol spike. If you are prepping, you need clear eyes and a steady hand, not a panic attack fueled by a headline writer in a city 500 miles away.
I guess so, but I still worry about the AI missing the nuance. I mean, if you are building this workflow, how do you even start? Daniel is talking about AI pipelines. Does that mean he has a robot reading the Jerusalem Post for him?
Essentially, yes. Imagine a system where you use an RSS feed or an API from various news outlets. That data flows into a tool like Zapier or Make.com, which then sends the text to an AI like GPT-4 or Claude. You give the AI a very specific prompt, act as a military intelligence analyst, strip away all emotional language, remove all speculation about future events, list only verified kinetic actions or official government instructions from the last 4 hours. Then it sends that summary to your email or a private Discord channel.
That sounds incredibly cool, but also a little bit like living in a sci-fi movie. Is there a risk of the AI hallucinating a threat? That is my big fear. If the AI gets a little confused and tells me there is a chemical leak when there is not, I am going to be duct taping my windows for no reason.
I am not so sure that is a huge risk if you set the parameters correctly. You can tell the AI to only report if it finds the same fact in 3 different sources. That is a basic verification gate, but look, Korn, we have to talk about why this is necessary specifically in places like Israel right now. You have the official Homefront Command app for immediate threats, but there is this middle ground of information. For example, knowing if Ben-Gurion Airport is seeing major cancellations or if certain roads in the north are being closed, that information is out there, but it is buried under layers of political bickering.
Right, and that bickering is what wears you down. I was reading about how people in high-stress zones develop what they call headline fatigue. You just stop caring because everything is a crisis. So, if Daniel is using these sit-reps to just get the facts, he is basically saving his mental energy for when he actually needs to move. I like that. But Herman, you are the technical one. How hard is this to actually build?
It is surprisingly accessible. You do not need to be a computer scientist. You can use a no-code platform. The real challenge is the prompt engineering. You have to be very strict. If you tell the AI to be helpful, it might try to give you advice. You do not want advice from an AI in a war zone. You want data. Tell it, do not tell me what to do. Just tell me what happened.
I don't know, Herman. That seems a bit much for the average person. Most people just want to follow a reliable Twitter account or a Telegram channel. Why go through all the trouble of building a pipeline?
Because those channels are the exact problem, Corin. Telegram is a hotbed of unverified videos and psychological warfare. If you are a prepper, your most valuable resource is accurate information. If you are basing your pantry stocking or your evacuation plan on a viral video that turns out to be from 3 years ago in a different country, your prep is useless. An AI pipeline can cross-reference timestamps and locations in a way a tired human simply cannot do at 3 a.m.
Okay, you convinced me on the Telegram point. That place is a mess, but let's take a quick break before we get into the nitty-gritty of how this changes the way we think about security. We will be right back.
Are you worried about the future? Does the sound of a distant lawnmower make you jump into your basement? You need the Bunker Buddy 5000. It is not just a lead line box, it is a lifestyle. The Bunker Buddy comes with a patented atmosphere generator that smells like fresh-cut grass and lavender, so you can forget the world is ending outside. It also features a hand-cranked internet simulator that shows you pre-recorded cat videos from 2012 so you never feel lonely. Is it airtight? We hope so. Is it waterproof? Only one way to find out. The Bunker Buddy 5000. It is better than a hole in the ground, probably. Larry, buy now.
Thanks, Larry. I think I will stick to my hammock for now. Anyway, back to the sit-reps and AI. Herman, we were talking about filtering news. One thing Daniel mentioned was focusing on key warnings that improve preparedness. What does that actually look like in a report?
It means focusing on logistics. In a crisis, logistics are king. A good AI workflow would look for keywords like fuel shortages, supermarket hours, power grid status, and water pressure reports. While the news is arguing about foreign policy, the AI is telling you that 3 major bakeries in your district are closed. That is a prompt for you to check your flour supplies. That is actionable intelligence.
That is a great point. It is the stuff that actually affects your day-to-day survival. But I want to challenge you on something. If everyone starts using AI to filter their news, aren't we just creating our own little information bubbles? If my AI is programmed to only show me kinetic events, I might miss the diplomatic breakthrough that means the war is ending. I would just be sitting in my bunker waiting for the next explosion while everyone else is out celebrating.
Well, that is a bit of a stretch, Corin. We are talking about periods of active crisis, not everyday life. And besides, I would argue the current media environment is a much more dangerous bubble. It is a bubble of sensationalism. Daniel's approach is actually a bubble of reality. It is a return to the way intelligence used to be gathered before it was turned into entertainment.
I see your point. It is like turning the news back into a weather report. You do not need the weather guy to tell you that rain is scary or that the clouds look angry. You just need to know if you need an umbrella.
Exactly. And in the context of Israel or any geopolitical hotspot, the umbrella might be a safe room or a week's worth of water. There is also the element of frequency. You can set these pipelines to run every hour, every 6 hours, or once a day. This prevents the doom-scrolling habit. You know that at 6 p.m. you will get your sit-rep. Until then, you can live your life, go to work, and talk to your family.
That sounds like a massive win for mental health. I mean, the stress of constantly checking for updates is a huge part of the burden. But wait, we have a caller. I think it is Jim. Let's see what he thinks about our AI news filters. Hey, Jim from Ohio, you are on the air. What is on your mind?
Yeah, this is Jim from Ohio. I have been listening to you two talk about AI pipelines and site reps, and honestly, it sounds like a bunch of hogwash. You know what my AI is? It is called looking out the front window. If the sky is falling, I will see it. My neighbor Gary bought one of those smart fridges that tells him when the milk is sour, and the thing started beeping at him in the middle of the night for no reason. Now you want to trust a computer to tell you if there is a war going on? Give me a break.
Well, Jim, it is a bit different when there are missiles involved. Looking out the window might be a little too late in that scenario, don't you think?
Look, in my day, we had the evening news and a newspaper. If something was important enough, they would interrupt the soap operas with a big red flash on the screen. That was enough for us. Now you kids need a robot to read the news for you because you are too scared to read a headline. It is ridiculous. And another thing, the weather here in Ohio is miserable today. My joints are aching and my cat Whiskers won't stop staring at the wall like he sees a ghost. It is creeping me out. You guys are overcomplicating everything. Just keep a flashlight and some canned beans and stop worrying about pipelines.
Jim, I hear you on the simplicity, but the scale of information today is thousands of times larger than it was 30 years ago. We are being flooded with deliberate misinformation. The AI isn't there to replace your eyes. It is there to act as a shield against the nonsense.
A shield? It is a crutch. You start trusting the machine to think for you, and pretty soon you won't know how to tie your own shoes without an app. I don't buy it. I am going to go finish my sandwich and hope the sun comes out, but I doubt it will. Thanks for nothing.
Thanks for calling in anyway, Jim. He is a bit cranky today, Herman, but he does have a point about over-reliance on technology. What happens if the power goes out or the internet is cut? Your AI pipeline is gone.
That is a fair critique, and it is why any good preparedness plan has to have layers. The AI workflow is your primary tool for long-term situational awareness. It is what you use when things are tense, but the infrastructure is still holding. If the grid goes down, you move to your secondary tools, a battery-powered radio, your own observations, and pre-established plans. You do not use a high-tech solution as your only solution. That would be foolish.
Okay, so it is a tool for the gray zone when things are uncertain, but not yet a total blackout. I can get behind that. So if we are looking at practical takeaways for someone like Daniel or any listener in a similar spot, what are the first steps?
First, identify your trusted sources. Do not just scrape the whole internet. Pick 3 or 4 reliable news agencies and the official government channels. Second, use a tool like Zapier to connect those sources to an AI model. Third, and this is the most important part, write a very strict prompt. Tell the AI you are a data extraction tool. Your goal is to provide a factual summary of events. Ignore all adjectives. Ignore all opinions. Focus on locations, times, and specific actions.
I would also add that you should test it when there is not a crisis. See what kind of reports it generates on a normal Tuesday. If it is giving you useful info, then you will trust it more when things get heavy. And maybe have it send the reports to a friend or family member too, so you are all on the same page.
That is an excellent suggestion, Corn. Shared situational awareness is a force multiplier. If a whole family or a group of neighbors is receiving the same dry, factual sitreps, they are much less likely to panic or argue about rumors. They can coordinate based on facts.
I actually really like this idea now. It is about taking back control. Instead of letting the news cycle happen to you, you are choosing how you consume it. You are turning a fire hose into a drinking fountain.
Exactly. But I will say, Corin, I still think there is a place for human analysis. You cannot completely outsource your judgment. The AI gives you the data, but you still have to decide what it means for your specific situation. If the AI says the main highway is closed, it won't tell you that your back road shortcut is also likely to be jammed. You still need to use your brain.
Oh, I agree. I am not letting the AI do my thinking for me. I just want it to do my reading for me. There is way too much to read these days.
On that, we can certainly agree. The volume of data is the enemy of clarity. By using these workflows, we are essentially building a filter for our own sanity. It is a way to stay prepared without staying terrified.
Well, that is a perfect place to wrap things up. This has been a fascinating look at how we can use these weird prompts and new tech to solve some very old problems. Thanks to Daniel Rosehill for sending this over. It is a vital topic for the world we are living in right now.
It certainly is. And remember, the goal of preparedness is not to live in fear. It is to live with confidence because you know you have the facts.
Well said, Herman Poppleberry. And thank you to all our listeners. You can find My Weird Prompts on Spotify and wherever you get your podcasts. We will be back next week with another deep dive into the strange and wonderful world of AI and human collaboration.
Stay safe out there and stay informed. Not just busy, but actually informed.
See you next time. Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.